This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
This is Overdrive. If you were listening between 11 and 1 today, I apologize. I'm back. Mike Hogan and for Hayes and Company today. Joining us on the program, Jonas Siegel is in for the entire three-hour tour. Good day.
Good day.
And Scotty Mack is nice enough to stick around, and we'll get into a bit of a roundtable. So I guess it's almost like a baseball hour and a half.
Yeah, today. Maybe. Although I've asked to be traded. I just walked in. I said, trade me.
To where?
I don't know.
I'm like Kyrie Irving. I don't really have a preferred destination. It's just, I don't want to play second fiddle, Holgy.
So we could trade you to Dubuque.
You tell me where that is?
It's in Iowa, I believe.
Nope.
Have a no trade?
I have
Gloria
a no
Bautista?
I have a no trade to...
You have not been here for 10 years. You have the 10, and yes, you are a 10-5 guy.
I'm a 10-5 guy.
You are indeed.
I'm coming up. I just start getting the emails now.
Mm-hmm.
I am about to hit 15 years as a full-time guy at Chum, CTV, Globe Media, Bell Media. So they start giving you those emails about, here's a present we can give you. And it's usually like China or...
Nice. They give you a country. Like that's amazing.
Yeah. Got to get up real early in the morning. Nice. Oh, you're hopped up on Coke and coffee here right now. And by that, I mean Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I need the sugar.
There you go.
Shall we start with... I threw the Bautista thing out there, so let's go there. Is there a market for him? Do you believe there's a market for him right now?
Well, I think if you look at it straight up, and it's never straight up, mm-hmm. but if you looked at it straight up, you'd say... Here's a guy who has been a terrific ball player.
Has been.
For 8 or 9 years, mm-hmm. but isn't really anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is an impending free agent because he's got a mutual option, which we as the acquiring team could decline. Maybe we bring him in. He's got about $6 million left. All right, we're a rich enough team. We're contending. We can eat that. We can bring him in. He can play a little right field if we're an American League team. Maybe he can DH. Some nights he can come off the bench. Absolutely, I think there's a function for Jose Bautista. But I'll let you jump in, Jonas. It's never that straight up. And so there are caveats to what I just said. But on the surface, I think that, yeah, there would be at least some moderate interest out there.
Well, I would just try to put myself in the place of a GM of a contending team and think, mm-hmm. could Jose Bautista help me? And I would think in most cases he probably can. Like, everybody could use an extra bat. I guess the question mark is, where would he play? Like, is he going to play right field for you? And if he's not, do you have a space at DH? How much is he going to hit? But, like, if I'm going into the playoffs and I've added Jose Bautista, I feel better about my team. As much as this recent stretch is concerning, he's still getting on base. Not at, you know, the clip we're used to. Still can hit for a little bit of power. Like, I still think he can be a help to somebody's lineup. Like, look, I look at like Houston and they added Carlos Beltran in the offseason. He hasn't been great. But it feels like that type of move for a team that's contending, that he could play that kind of role.
Here's where it's not so straight up. He's a 10-5 guy, right? Which mm-hmm. means 10 years in the league. Mike, you talked about this right off the top. 10 years in the league, 5 consecutive with the same team, in which in per the CBA, and this has been this way for a few decades now in Major League Baseball, if you are a 10-5 guy, you can veto anything. You've got full no trade protection. What if Jose Bautista gets presented with a deal that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have put together with another team, and he says, okay, give me some time to talk to that team, and he talks to that team, or Jay Alou, his agent, talks to that team and says, that mutual option for 2018 at $17 million will come, but...
You're picking it up.
We need it guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. That won't happen.
Not a prayer.
Yeah.
I can't see any contest. Jose Bautista is not that good at this stage of his career where he can demand... Was it 17 or 18? 17 next
it's 17,
year.
It's 18 this
18
year,
this
17,
year, 17 next year. There's no, I can't think of a team in its right mind that would guarantee that for next year. I just can't. And that's no disrespect to Bautista. Father Time is undefeated. And right now it's winning big time with him. My question to you is, because you've been around the guy as long, we know that he's super competitive. He works his rear end off as much as anybody in the game and wants to win as much as anybody in the game. That said, he's a very proud man. He wants to play right field. He wants to be in the lineup every day. Doesn't want to DH. He's talked about that. He doesn't want to come off the bench. Is he good enough at this stage to be an everyday right fielder for a team?
That's a contending team.
A contending team. And if the answer is no, I mean, that immediately...
That cuts out half the league.
Yes. Yeah. You've automatically eliminated the National League.
Right.
I don't know if there's a team right now in the American League that's contending, and there are several this year.
But look at the big spenders. Like, Boston, they're set.
Yeah.
New York's set.
Unless Bautista can play third.
So, like, where is he going to play? I guess he can DH. That's the thing.
But he doesn't want to. And that's why I ask you, Scott, you know the guy, would he do that? Would he go to a, at this stage of his career, would he go to a team knowing that he wasn't going to be an everyday player, that he was going to come off the bench or be a DH in certain situations?
See, well, I can't get into his head, but if he's got to shelve the pride and understand that he's going to free agency this offseason and that he is probably going to get a major league deal with a team next year, it's just not going to be for anywhere close to what he would have made it on the mutual option of $17 million. Maybe at some point he thinks to himself, well, okay, I go to a good team. I'm in a pretty good lineup. Maybe I hit a big home run or two. Maybe I have a nice little run over August and September. Get into the playoffs. Get some national exposure on TV.
But can he can accomplish the same thing here with less pressure on him? Can he not? I mean, we saw what the Red Sox just did by bumping Sale. Right? There's not a lot of respect from the Red Sox certainly about the, when it comes to the Blue Jays. Here's a guy that might, in certain circumstances, see a team drop a very good starter a day to get him into the next series. There may be better opportunities for Bautista here to hit against lesser pitching, which should increase his numbers, which should help him go onto the market.
Right, but there's also a better opportunity to have a big moment or two or three.
The bat flip moment.
Yeah, and I don't think teams are stupid enough with all the data and all the video and all of the scouting and everything to make a decision on one moment.
Mm-hmm. But guys, look,
but Pablo Sandoval got a massive deal in Boston for
being, Red Sox were crazy.
For being good in October for a few.
Yes.
But I don't understand something. Like, if they can trade him, they trade him. To me, the bigger questions are the more, I don't know, the bigger names. It's Donaldson, it's Stroman, it's Sanchez, it's Osuna.
Look, Jonas, it's Friday afternoon.
No, I want to...
I've done my show, and I don't want to get yelled at on Twitter heading into my weekend.
So
are you trying to set me up to piss people off?
No, because like this is
I am pro trade.
To me, if they can, okay, so that's good. That's a good starting point because I haven't talked to you about this.
Now I'm going
to
get yelled at on Twitter.
That's fine.
So don't check your Twitter. It's simple.
But
see, this is the bigger question. Like I'm sure if I'm Jay's management and I'm in this position, I can get something quantifiable for Bautista, I'm doing it. If Bautista obviously agrees.
But you're not going to get anything for him other than a team biting some
salary. So that is why, like, the bigger question is, like, what do you do with the bigger pieces? Like, some big pieces you're not going to be able to move. I don't buy for anything that you're going to be able to trade Troy Tulowitzki or Russell Martin. Like, that's not happening. But then it's, like, more longer-term big-picture questions. Like, am I willing to trade Stroman? Am I willing to, a year before he potentially leaves, am I willing to trade Donaldson? Is this the right time to trade Donaldson? Like, these are the harder questions that I don't know the answers to and that I think are really kind of difficult to decipher.
Well, Gibby has a weekly appearance, I believe, on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. He was on there today. He was speaking with Power Alley with Mike Farron, Jim Bowden, and Jim Duquette.
Quite a promo.
And he, thank you. And he talked about the core.
You know, it hasn't been a good year for us. It's not over yet, but, you know, there's a ton of talent on this team. We want to be strong for next year and finish this year strong, and who knows what the hell might happen this year. But, you know, he wants to hold it together. Whether somebody, you know, somebody throws a huge offer at us that you can't resist, who knows. But I expect the core will stay together. I would think that.
Okay, what's the core of this baseball team? And that's the $28 million question.
Sanchez, Stroman, Osuna, Donaldson, Travis, if he could ever stay healthy, but he can't, so I'm not going to throw him in there right now. Martin, just because he's got 2 years left on a deal that is immovable, although I think you'd want to keep him anyway. Russell Martin's a pretty good ball player.
But I don't look at him as being in the core simply because of the age. Right? Okay. Well, going I'm talking about the core going forward that you think you can win with in 2 years, 3 years. You're not going to win next year either.
Okay, yeah, but that's what they're saying. They're setting this up for next year to try to win.
Gibbons is talking about next year.
Well, it's Gibbons.
Right.
But that's what he's saying. That's what management's
sure.
But they're thinking. also saying, well, we intend to contend.
Mm-hmm.
We should hashtag that. Intend to contend.
Maybe that should be their new slogan.
There you go.
Let's rise. Instead,
let's rise in 2017. Yeah. Intend to contend.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, like, can this, as constructed probably similarly next year, contend? I just don't know what would convince me that they're going to be able to contend next year if they can't contend this year.
Well,
what's going to change? Like, Sanchez, first, you hope Sanchez is healthy. You hope Donaldson's healthy.
You hope Happ is healthy.
Okay, so those
and you
are three
hope Stroman stays healthy and continues to pitch like he can. But this is—it's all if. Yeah. Let's go around the diamond. Will Justin Smoke
have a
second great season off of the one that he's had? Presuming he finishes this one strong.
The odds aren't great.
Who knows? So he's your first baseman.
Yep.
You tell me who the second baseman is, and don't say D. Gordon. He can't hit.
He's fast.
Yes, he's fast, but he can't hit. Shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki. Yikes.
Yeah.
Josh Donaldson, third base. If he's healthy.
Bingo.
A-OK.
Yep.
Martin, fine with that. Left field.
Who's in left?
Is it Steve Pierce?
Yeah.
Ugh. Center field, Kevin Pillar, who is, by most of the advanced metrics, regressing defensively this year. And you can have a debate as to whether that, okay, well, Kevin has come in on some balls that have sailed over his head. That'll have an effect on defensive runs saved and ultimate zone rating and that stuff. Is it also partly the compensation for the fact that he's got Carrera or Pierce to his right playing left and Bautista playing right field to his left? So he's got to compensate positionally, and sometimes that costs him the ability to get to baseballs. I don't know. Who's playing right field? Jose Bautista's gone. To finish my thought on Pillar, though, because I got way ahead of myself, Pillar is a fourth outfielder offensively.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
if
sure.
The, if
absolutely.
The defense declines, and I've often said in talking to people, and I'm dating myself a little bit, but Rusty Greer. You remember Rusty Greer
of
the Texas Rangers?
Yeah.
That dude was a pretty good left-handed hitter. He played left field like he was an offensive lineman. He'd go through walls. He'd dive left, right, and center. Kevin Pillar is doing the same thing playing on turf in Toronto. And what we tend to forget is that these guys aren't really kids. Kevin Pillar is on the fast track to 30. I think he's 27 or 28 now. Mm-hmm. When that body starts to age, and he's not as good a defensive player, he's not a hitter, he's a fourth outfield. There are a ton of holes around the diamond.
Is that the reason? And we've all seen him make stupendous catches over the last few years. But we've also seen him take that false step forward before he turns around and goes back on a baseball. Has his body lost a little bit in your estimation, where he's not able to get to that ball as quickly? Because I don't think he's changed his style at all. He still occasionally takes that wrong first step. In years gone by, he's been able to overcome it and make those diving catches a la Jim Edmonds.
But he's never been that beautiful gliding center fielder like Devon White was, or like Adam Jones has been.
He hauls ass to go make a catch.
Back when he was younger, or Andrew McCutchen in his heyday, kind of the gliding sort of just get there. Kevin Pillar has always been about angles and just, you know, go as quickly and as hard as you can. He's told me repeatedly, and he was a wide receiver in high school when he played football. He says, I play center field like I'm cutting across the middle.
That's interesting.
I'll take the hit. I'll take the hard landing in this. So he's never really been the prototypical center fielder. That's why people used to say, well, Dalton Pompey profiles far better as a center fielder long term. Back when Pompey was struggling in early 2015, and Kevin Pillar should be the center fielder. Pompey is the guy. He profiles that way. Well, Pillar made himself an elite center fielder by being a balls-to-the-wall guy. He's never really been a traditional center fielder in that sense.
But so that's a lot of question marks.
Oh, absolutely.
A ton of question marks.
But that's what I'm saying.
What would convince you that you're going to contend?
I don't know.
This is the thing. It's not the path to contention, the intend to contend. The path to contention for me isn't obvious.
So then is this a smokescreen?
But I said to Steve Phillips on the show last hour, I said, how do you do it, Steve? I mean, you're an ex-GM. You've actually lived this stuff. You tell me. And he said, well, you got to have Stroman, Sanchez, and Happ healthy and pitching really well. Mm-hmm. You backfill the rotation. And then behind Osuna, you spend with some $60 million coming off the books and Bautista and a bunch of others. Liriano and Estrada and even Saltalamacchia coming off the books, you pump that money into your seventh and eighth inning relief, and then you become a pitching strong
team.
And I
agree. And when I asked the core, and you came up, you started going with the pitchers, and then you added Donaldson and a couple of other guys. My core for this baseball team is Sanchez, and everybody's hopeful that he recovers and at some point is able to get through
the blisters. Got to start Moises Alou-ing on his hands, Hoagie. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, Moises Alou's cure for blisters was peeing on his hands. Just for those who don't know.
Didn't wear batting gloves. Yep.
So there's him, there's Stroman, and there's Osuna. Full stop. Because I don't know what Donaldson's headspace is going forward. And if he doesn't want to be here when he becomes a free agent, and I don't think the Jays are going to be a contender in the next couple of years, I think you have to maximize that. You can't let him walk away and not get the kind of haul that you could get for a guy like this. And right now, you hope he gets back into lineup healthy, because it's obviously he's fighting something almost every day. He's diving into second base or third base, and he gets up, and you wonder if he's going to come back in. If this guy's healthy, he's a premier third baseman. There's no question about that. He's got to get healthy and show over the last couple of months of the season that he can stay healthy and hit some home runs and get on base and start hitting the ball harder. And if you can get him back, he can showcase himself for next year. In the offseason, you bring more teams into the discussion, and maybe in the offseason you can make that deal. I don't see Donaldson as a part of this team going forward unless I know he wants to be here, and I don't know that.
But wait, so isn't there some question of do you want him to be here? Like, he's past 30 now. He's
busy. Oh, I agree 100%. But if you think you're going to win in the next couple of years, which is a pipe dream, then sure, maybe you keep him around.
Yeah, but
I don't
if
know
you're
why
keeping him, you're signing him, right?
Sure. So I wouldn't re-sign him. I'd be looking at this guy.
I'd re-sign him for 3 or 4 years, but you're never going to get him for that. So I just wouldn't give him 6 or 7 years. I think time and again, those long-term deals for guys on the wrong side of 30 have proven to be folly. Sure. Albert Pujols is a Hall of Famer. That deal with Anaheim has been disastrous.
Sure.
Just hasn't been good. Prince Fielder, and somebody yelled at me, because I'm an argumentative guy. I said, that's a stupid contract that the Detroit Tigers gave Prince Fielder. And somebody yelled at me, he's played every game for Milwaukee for the last 7 years. I said, yeah, but he's an ectomorph who's now pushing 30. And when he gets into his 30s, I thought it was his knees or something else that would give out. That's a lot of,
see, like Miguel Cabrera, they signed 2 years before they needed to, and he has just fallen off a cliff.
Exactly.
Like, so, it just happens.
So Donaldson's a special player. There's no question
Absolutely.
About it. He's one of the great positional player talents to don this team's uniform.
So take advantage of that and get what you can for him.
I agree.
But so what happens if you look around and you assess the market and there's not a great return, like right now?
Then you deal him in the offseason.
What if you get because him in the offseason and it's the same thing?
Oh, there's got to be something up there
but
in the offseason.
But what if he continues to have this kind of year and he finishes with numbers that don't look great, he's banged up the whole year, he's approaching free agency, you look around and the market's not great, you just keep him and
you would have to. I'm not giving him away.
Right.
Right? Like, you can't give him away. You would have to get at least one blue, ultra-blue chip
prospect. There's a market for Donaldson in the offseason. There has to be. Because there would be a playoff
St. Louis
team that thinks it's a contender. But
can I ask you a question? We look at, like, the core, and we don't list any position players developed by the Jays.
Well,
aside from Travis, he's not developed by the Jays. He was traded.
But when I'm talking about the core, I'm not going down to Bichette. I'm not going down to Guerrero. I'm just talking about the current roster.
But so why aren't there more of those guys? I don't know. Maybe that's a difficult question. But like, what's happened on that end of things?
Well, and not a lot of these guys have come up and made impact in the big leagues. But they traded a ton of people.
But wasn't a bunch of those guys, the majority were pitching prospects,
yes,
right?
Syndergaard and Hoffman and Graveman and guys like that.
And so that right there is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They have not drafted and or developed positional talent to the extent that you would hope. Now, there's Anthony Elford, who could profile quite nicely as maybe more likely a left fielder, could be a center fielder in a perfect world, but that's a guy who you may hear from soon. Rowdy Tellez has had a real down year for Buffalo at AAA as kind of the one quote-unquote prospect playing for the Bisons right now. This is the thing, guys, that I'm uncertain about and confuses me. They want to contend in 2018. If they do that, they have to do it through free agency and
or
through
trading
trade.
Some of the kids that they don't want to trade. Which makes no sense to me.
No, you're
right
not
now.
Trading Bichette or
No, I would
Guerrero.
Agree, but unless you do, Scotty, you're not. This team, in my estimation, is too far away from being a contender that you wouldn't have to touch
blue
chips.
And I don't. These two guys came from Cleveland, and you know when you kind of muddle around and try to get some information, and you throw, hey, well, how much has ownership fallen in love with the attendance and the TV ratings?
They have to because they're awesome. The ratings are great.
Oh,
the attendance is great.
And then there's no question about it. And you don't want to lose the renaissance, the momentum from Victoria to St. John's that is built around this Jays resurgence. I've got buddies who have 6 or 7 year old sons whose favorite sports are baseball, mm-hmm. not hockey.
Yeah,
and they're playing, and that's another thing. So you don't want to lose that, but you also run the risk. What were the Blue Jays for 20 years?
Don't you fall into J.P. Ricciardi Blue Jays?
They'd piddle along. Now, some of that, I mean, they had a pretty good team under John Gibbons in 06, and then the Yankees won a gazillion games, and so did the Red Sox. That can be a mitigating factor. But you don't want to settle for mediocrity. I understand you run the risk of being a team like the Philadelphia Phillies as opposed to the Chicago Cubs or the Houston Astros.
Right,
but don't forget the suffering that Cubs and Astros fans went through. There were multiple years of 100 or close to 100 losses.
But the Jays have already gone through. Their fan base has already gone through that. We go back 4 years, 5 years, and if the Houston Astros were to roll in on a Tuesday night, they'd have crowds at the Rogers Center where they'd be going, man, I wish we had Argo crowds.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you'd have 5,000 people in the stands.
Yeah, but so if you're ownership, are you okay with 4 or 5 years where 19,000 start?
But there's the rub. But what of the fan base now, because they've been able to cultivate this fan base, how many are rabid? How many have become rabid fans? And there are many that have just gone from, that's baseball, it's boring, I don't want to watch it, to, oh man, have you seen what's happening in Buffalo? Have you seen what's happening in Lansing? And gone all the way through the minors and have become that person. And how many of the newcomers are, oh, the guy's nickname is Bringer of Rain. I don't know who he is, but he's got a cool nickname. Yeah. Let's go have a beer and take a selfie.
Well, could be. Yeah, could, and it could be that. But here's the other thing, too. Here's what didn't exist in the early 2000s when they were struggling. Yuppies living in that City Place development where you can walk.
Like you?
Yeah. I don't live in City Place, but I'm close enough, I guess. Like, where you can walk to the Rogers Center, and that can start your weekend.
Sure. Yeah, but it starts to change when the team sucks.
It does, but here's the thing. Do you have to have, kind of along what Hoagie's saying, a little bit of short-term pain for longer-term gain? I'm looking at a Donaldson trade, and I can't sit here and guarantee that it would ever work out this way. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, it would. But you get a player or two who is major league ready or right close to it, who then kind of either leads the path or comes alongside the Bichettes and the Guerreros of the world and the Reed Foleys of the world. And hopefully you can retain Stroman and or Sanchez, and that's the next wave that pushes you into 2020 or 2021. I know, you're making a face, but what are you going to do? You're just going to piddle along, and you know, maybe the second wildcard spot convinces everybody, well, if we can kind of be an 85 win team, maybe we got a shot and get into that wild card game. We win it, get hot, maybe you go on a run.
That just seems like falling into the old cycle. Like I don't know the better path. Like, because like you said with the Phillies, you talk to people in Philly right now, and they don't really see a lot of hope.
When you're we've got to go. But when you're a pro sports franchise and you have a window of opportunity, which the Jays had for 2 or 3 years, the 2 years were legitimate. This is the third year, and it didn't work out for a myriad of reasons. That window closes quickly.
Yeah.
And I think the window is just about to close, and there is no quick way out of a closing window unless you spend. And I don't know if they're going to do that. And it might be just foolish money thrown out the window if they do. Drunk and disorderly this weekend?
Allegedly.
Okay. Go to it. There's a patio somewhere with your name. I thought you were gone at 4:30.
Oh, is it 4:30?
No, you're more than welcome to stay. I thought you were gone after this segment.
Okay. Well,
we didn't have time to chat between shows.
Jonas, it was nice to see you. Hoagies asked me to leave.
No, I'd like you want to see you stay. Hey dude, you want to stay till 7?
Well, I didn't say that. We'll talk in the break. And okay. If I'm not here,
I hope you're back. But you if you're not, we completely understand.
All right.
Okay. It's Overdrive. Hogan Siegel and Scotty Mack. He's staying. Hercules. Scotty Mack is staying. For how long now? Have you decided yet? Do you have people to call?
For the remainder of the hour, if...
Nice!
If you allow it.
Nice!
You're the host, Hoagie. You can punt anybody out of here whenever you want.
No, I can't. I'm just filling the damn chair.
Which makes you the host.
I guess.
If you're sitting in that chair.
Okay.
Unless you're Matt Cause, who likes to sit in that chair. Yeah. But if you're sitting in that chair, you're the host.
That's odd. He's just odd. In a likable way most of the time. But he's just odd.
You don't like him because he's a Giants fan, though, right?
Well, that's the thing. That part of Matt, I will never understand. Let's put it that way. Coming up, there's some news potentially breaking in the NBA. We will get to that momentarily. Hogan, Siegel, MacArthur with you until the top of the hour. Then Jonas and I will keep you company until 7 o'clock this afternoon. Lots of baseball talk coming up. Some basketball talk right now, though. As Kyrie Irving has gone all slapshot and said, trade me right freaking now. Cleaned up for today, of course. But to Kyrie Irving, according to multiple reports and sources, and sources telling ESPN that Kyrie Irving says, trade me. That's a little surprising, is it not? Like, why would you want to leave that situation?
Because it doesn't look as good as it did not that long ago. And it started after, it started with losing the title. And then it continued with David Griffin not being retained as their general manager, mm-hmm. which didn't please LeBron.
LeBron's the general manager anyway.
Whatever. I don't know. I don't think that's fair to him.
If he wants good players, he's going to go talk to good players, and they'll figure out a way
still
to get it done.
He's still not going to negotiate the contracts. So that happens. Now, it's basically assumed in the NBA that LeBron is going to go to the Lakers next summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that cloud is kind of hanging over everything. Kyrie's probably, I don't know, I can't speak for Kyrie, but I would imagine if I'm in his position, I'm looking at this like, you know, LeBron's going to leave next summer. We're probably not positioned right now to beat Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything really of consequence. I think they re-signed Kyle Korver, but they didn't do anything of consequence this offseason.
Their front office is a mess.
So, like, what are we, like, I think it was the day before the draft that they let go of David Griffin. So, like, what's going on here? What am I doing?
But let me throw this, because you had a list off air, a list of the teams that he wants to go to. So please read that list out loud.
I have it here, Scotty. Sorry.
I know it's
not in front of you.
Yeah,
it's the Knicks, Heat, the Timberwolves.
Stop right there. He's got the Knicks on his list. He wants to win, so he's thinking about going to the Knicks?
He wants to win, or does he want to be the guy?
He said the Spurs. This is according to ESPN. The Spurs were his preferred location, and then it's the Knicks, the Heat, and the Timberwolves. And so the Timberwolves have already gotten a point guard.
Sure.
They got Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
Miami already has Goran Dragic, so that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the Knicks, and good luck there.
His salary, his contract isn't bad enough to go to the Knicks.
He could go to the Spurs, would be interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
So this is more of a question than anything else at this point. I'm not sure where my opinion should fall. How do we feel about Kyrie Irving doing this? Because a guy like Kevin Durant gets crushed for signing as a free agent with the team that he and his Oklahoma City Thunder almost beat but couldn't ultimately beat.
You can't beat him, join him.
And he joins him, wins an NBA title, but he's getting crushed all season and throughout. And now you got Kyrie Irving, who does have a ring, who's been to three consecutive NBA finals, playing with LeBron James, saying, I don't want to be second fiddle to LeBron James anymore.
Sure.
I want to go be the man. So now it... I mean, we crap on a guy who finds a situation in which he wants to win. Now we're dealing with a guy who seems... Minneapolis, I mean, Minnesota's made some nice moves here. I mean, they could be an ascendant team in the Western Conference.
And it's not
Western
like
Conference.
He's going there for the weather in the middle of winter.
Of course. But this is a guy who, through a couple of these destinations at least, like I'd rather play in New York than Cleveland, seems to be saying, I want to be the man. How do we feel about that? Isn't that as much or more selfish than anything Kevin Durant ever did?
I'm really usually not comfortable with a guy saying, trade me. Unless
there's
something
Why not?
You've signed the contract. You seem to be happy there. It's a winning franchise. And play it out. You have your opportunity when you're a free agent to go out and pick the team that you want and go anywhere.
That doesn't seem fair.
I can understand if you're in a really bad situation.
Thinks this is a bad situation.
Maybe going forward, right now I don't think it is. I think they're going to make a run.
They're a tire fire. Their management is a joke right now.
Right now,
they have a crazy owner.
But they also have a team that
can't win.
Should
a title.
Win the East.
That's fine. Sure.
Okay, you get back and you take your chances in the finals.
They just got rolled in the finals.
There's not a team in the NBA right now, East or West, that can touch Golden State. So what does it matter where the hell you go? If you go to San Antonio, you're not going to touch Golden State. If you go to
I don't know if that's completely true.
Okay, who's got a shot over seven games when both teams are healthy of a legitimate chance of beating Golden State in seven?
If you put Kyrie on the Spurs, they're not better. They're in the conversation.
In seven games? It's not like they're getting younger.
I don't know if you probably remember game one of the Western Conference Finals. The Spurs were pumping Golden State until Kawhi got hurt. Granted, that's game one. But like, it's not, I don't know. It's hard to know what Kyrie is thinking, but this just really puts a bigger cloud over Cleveland going into the year. Like, they already had the LeBron cloud that was going to be there with the Lakers, and now you add Kyrie.
All right, so I asked this question a couple of weeks ago when everything was going on with David Griffin, and he mutually agrees to part ways. I love that, by the way. Mutually agrees to part ways with Cleveland.
Yeah.
And Chauncey Billups was close, and then it didn't happen, and now there are a bunch of question marks here. And I suppose you would have to get your front office organized before this could ever happen. But if you trade Kyrie Irving, this would be the impossible sell to the good folks on the shores of Lake Erie. But if LeBron is going to walk, we've seen an appetite out there from a team like Oklahoma City acquiring Paul George, a potential one and done. We've seen teams have appetites for potential one and donners. Could there be a scenario in which LeBron James is traded?
No,
not at all.
No chance. You can't even entertain it. Like he said,
why?
Because it's an automatic trip to the finals. That's a lot of money. You don't walk away.
It is an automatic trip to the finals if it's LeBron and
in the East right now. Well, the way the East is set up.
Back up. Like, just because Kyrie asks for a trade doesn't necessarily mean they're going to trade him. One, they don't have like a full-time GM. Two, like, this is the perfectly wrong time to ask for a trade. Like, it's right after free agency. Teams have already filled their holes. Unless you want to go to the Knicks. The Knicks, like, I don't know what the Knicks have to trade you that Cleveland's going to say, okay, we're going to trade Kyrie. They don't. The Spurs, it's interesting, but again, it's like, what are you getting back? Like, Cleveland doesn't have to do this just because someone asked for a trade.
Understood, absolutely. And maybe I feel a little bit better for Irving because at least it would seem that he's going about this the right way. He didn't go public with it. I would bet, you know, a month's salary that this is coming from the Cavaliers if it's coming from anybody, because it's not good for Irving. It's not good for his agent at this stage.
Why not?
Because you want this thing to be done quietly, and you don't want to come out as trade
summer,
me right
what
now.
Does it matter?
No, but I would think that it would matter in Irving trying to maintain a good public image. You don't want to be known as that guy. You go to the Cavaliers and you say, "Okay, look, things aren't working out. I'm terrified of what's going to happen with LeBron. There are some things about the organization I'm not happy with right now. I'd appreciate it if you could attempt to make a deal that involves me. If you do, here's the teams that I would really like to go to, and you know, maybe my agent can talk and get something going as well." I would assume that the Irving wants a trade would come from the Cavaliers, right? That's going to get leaked by them before it's going to get leaked by Irving, or potentially one of the deal teams that the Cavaliers have talked to, if they have talked to anybody.
And what do you think is the benefit to the Cavs to try to paint Kyrie as the bad guy?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because the flip side of that coin is, doesn't it paint you as potentially desperate to move him now that that cat's out of the bag?
Yeah, but like you just said, the management in Cleveland doesn't seem to know what the hell it's doing.
Yeah, that's from the owner on down.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but there was some impetus.
Yes.
Make sure you clarify that.
Yeah.
Although there is some of that going on in Cleveland's front office right now, too.
Incompetence. There was some impetus after the season that they were going to have to trade somebody to get better. Like, they were going to have to make a move. And the thought was it was going to be Kevin Love. But then it doesn't seem like there was much of a market for Kevin Love. And then there was talk that maybe it was going to be Kyrie. Maybe it needed to be Kyrie. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe they can still make something of this.
We'll find out. It will be interesting to see how this is handled on both sides, because this one ain't going away until something, it's going to take the trade for this to happen. More to come. Scotty's sticking around. Jonas is here until the top of the hour as well. We'll get a lot of baseball talk in later on the program as well. Ned Colletti is going to join us. Pedro Gomez is going to join us. This is Overdrive. Hogan in for Hayes here on TSN 1050. Minutes before 5 o'clock. Mike Hogan in for Brian Hayes today. Jonas Siegel is here until 7 o'clock. Scotty Mack is here until the top of the hour. As I was driving out of here yesterday, heading over to York, it was like an hour, which actually worked out okay in this case, because I was listening to your show and you went all OJ, right? So I was able to listen to that while I was held hostage in a car.
Should I be apologizing?
No,
okay with that?
I found it fascinating for mostly the wrong reasons, but somebody very quickly has come out of the gate and offered OJ a job. And I'm not making this up.
Oh, here we go. See, I should be surprised it took this long.
OJ Simpson officially has his first post-prison job offer from a Nevada brothel, who says they are willing to let the juice, well, I'm not going to go with the pun that they have written, but some of the girls have threatened to quit if OJ is hired. But they say he's one of the conditions, place to stay. The guy is offering him, he could stay there. He's offering him a job as a greeter. So if OJ Simpson wants to stay in Nevada and have a job and a place to stay, a brothel has come up.
What?
In Carson City, Nevada, Dennis Hoff, who owns the Bunny Ranch.
Okay, yeah, the Bunny Ranch is the famous one in Nevada.
Well, there you go.
What are the Nevada state laws pertaining to one's estate and whatnot acquiring? You know, remember, the Goldmans won that suit, and Nicole Brown's estate won the civil suit on OJ. That's
doesn't
why he hangs out
works
in Florida.
Yeah.
That's why he lives in Florida, right? Because Florida laws protect him from having to cough up any monies he obtains through work or anything else.
How much is he going to make at the Bunny Ranch? Seriously. Could this be a job that is going to be that lucrative? Why do it? I mean, this is just a great promotional stunt. We've bitten in because we've given them the chat here.
Can I just ask you guys, maybe I'm in the minority, but why do we still care? Why was there so much coverage of his parole hearing?
Because
I don't care.
Because, well, for the same reasons that people care about keeping up with the Kardashians. And
I don't keep up with the Kardashians.
Well, okay, you don't. No, and that's fine.
But people do.
But people do. And so there's a celebritizing of this. And the other thing, Jonas, is like that trial in the mid-90s was really the advent of reality TV.
I think anybody who, like me, invested that much time into O.J. Simpson over those 2 years wants to find out what the next chapter is going to be. And we watch him with a morbid curiosity and a great deal of venom. And you hope the bad things... Sorry?
No, it doesn't seem good.
Healthy, but it's...
I said this on the air yesterday. Why... And I said this to Uncle Shawnee before we went on the air. Name me the 19th century figure who remains cloaked in mystery and will never truly know who it was, but who remains subject to stories and lore.
Jack the Ripper.
Yes. There is an obsession...
Sure.
For the morbid, For the obscene?
Who killed
for
Kennedy?
For the crazy?
We still want to know who killed Kennedy. There's
an obsession with, because most of us can't relate to it, and so we think to ourselves, how could somebody possibly be like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's intrigue in even that for a lot of people. Maybe not Jonas, but
I am intrigued, but just because of the size of the story. Like, this was, for 2 years,
no, but like,
this was
I would have understood, like, if there was just like a news bulletin, OJ was paroled, but like, it was yesterday, like, you did a chunk on it on TV, like, it was the whole parole hearing. I just was blown away.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. And that's a totally rational take and thought to have on it. But we obsess over these things, or at least we remain fascinated by them.
Couple of updates on Sanchez from Rob Longley at The Sun. Sanchez will see a hand specialist here in Cleveland. Return to DL possible, from Gregor Chisholm from MLB.com. Sanchez will meet with a hand specialist today. DL stint possible per Gibbons. I can't imagine he'll be able to avoid it.
Hmm.
So now you know. Just in time for you to say goodbye. You can think about this before you hit the patio.
Think about what? The Sanchez to the DL?
Yes.
Shut him down.
There we go. It's going to happen. Have a great weekend, no matter what you're doing.
You too. We'll see you on Monday.
Absolutely. And Jonas and I are going to stick around. We've got some more baseball talking to do, including right at the top of the hour. Pedro Gomez will join us from ESPN, Baseball Tonight reporter, and we'll get his thoughts on what might happen via trade and his thoughts on what the Blue Jays might do as we continue with Overdrive. Hogan in for Hayes on TSN 1050.